This is BayCare Health Chat, another podcast from BayCare Health System. Here's Melanie Cole.
If you've ever groaned, "Oh, my aching back," you're not alone. Low back pain and back pain in general can be debilitating. And if you've ever suffered back pain, you know what I'm talking about. My guest today is Dr. David Brown. He's the manager of the rehab services at Morton Plant Hospital, part of BayCare Health System. Dr. Brown, tell us a little bit about the prevalence and the economic impact of back pain in this country.
Well, back pain is a very common occurrence. And, you know, what the data shows is that about two-thirds of Americans are going to experience low back pain. Over any three-month period, about 25% of Americans will have low back pain. It's a top cause of disability around the world. So it's really a very prevalent problem. And it's something that we've seen in the U.S. right now really push to the forefront of concern, because about 72% of the people that have back pain use pain medication to address their low back pain. And with the opiate crisis that we have in the United States, we already have a very expensive problem of low back pain coupled with a significant issue with opiates. And so that's why it's really always a highlighted item to consider when you're looking at folks either at the workplace, or whether they tend to sit in the workplace or whether they stand in the workplace. We've seen a fair amount of people with a seated job also report low back pain. So it's not going to just be the folks that are standing that are going to have low back pain either.
And not to mention missed work as a result of back pain. So what are some of the most common causes of it? And explain to the listeners a little bit, Dr. Brown, the difference between an acute incident of back pain, like you threw out a disc or did something, you bent over and went, ugh, or chronic back pain that might be caused by a degenerative situation such as arthritis.
Well, it's a common problem is going to be the low back pain, and really some of the best recipe for it, whether it's an acute exacerbation of low back pain or, you know, a chronic condition of low back pain, the best recipe is going to be to try and stay active, to try and maintain a normal routine, you know, trying to treat, you know, back pain with bed rest or trying to treat it with medication really is not yielding the results that we would want to see for a condition. And so, and that's one of the reasons why we see so many chronic back pains, is because it is being treated with medication and rest more than it probably should be. Movement is really the best long-term plan for relief of back pain. You know, the total cost attributed to low back pain, when you're looking at, you know, these acute exacerbations or a chronic condition, it's over $100 billion in the United States. And two-thirds of those costs are, like what you had alluded to, indirect costs that are related to lost wages and lost productivity at work, not just the cause of treating the low back pain medically.
You're a physical therapist, Dr. Brown. So does treatment depend on diagnosis, or are there some things that we can start by recommending that people do to keep a healthy back, or if their back is bothering them, things that you would like them to try before they maybe come in to see somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk about, you know, low back pain, and, you know, some of the mantras that we'll use in physical therapy is, you know, motion is lotion. You really want to have a normal routine. You want to have a routine that you're doing on a routine basis to take care of your body in general. So utilizing good body positioning at work, and also at home and with your leisure activities, that's going to be important for protecting your spine over the long term. When you're talking about some of the specific things we'll educate folks on doing, it'll be activities such as if you're having to do any lifting to keep the load close to your body, if you're lifting anything heavy to ask for help, if you're working in the healthcare industry, you know, like my coworkers do here. To try and utilize, you know, different devices that we have available. You know, for example, in the hospital, besides just having another person help you, we have different systems that we could use, different slings for lifting, or different devices such as, you know, an AirTap or a Sara Lift to help with transferring a patient or to getting a patient up to standing. But, you know, another good mantra that we'll always try and use when you're having to lift, whether it's an object or if you're helping to lift a patient, is to really try and keep it close and try and keep it simple with those transitions.
It's definitely good advice, and people want to know about things like lifting, proper lifting techniques when they're taking heavy items out of a trunk. That could be an awkward position. As a physical therapist, what do you teach people about doing these kinds of things, taking care, even lifting up their children or getting up off the ground? What do you want them to know about the best ways to do that?
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, there's a whole complex amount of decision-making that goes into the lifting that you're going to be doing, depending on what you're going to be lifting, who you're going to be lifting, what activities that you're going to be doing. So, you know, my advice is always to try and just ask people to slow down and think about it. Try and plan ahead before doing any heavy lifting. You know, doing some environmental scans, you know, first to ensure that you have a clear path, utilizing tools in the workplace that you might have to assist you in making lifts easier and safer is advice that I give. Lifting with your legs, not with your back. If you're going to have to lift something, try not to lean over the object. You know, try and face the object that you're looking to lift and trying to avoid twisting, you know, trying to get as close as you can and keep your back straight and do the lifting with your legs. Some of the other basics is try and keep your feet shoulder width apart and trying to maintain your balance so you can evenly distribute the weight that you're going to be lifting. That's all going to be part of the education when you have a specific task to accomplish. But I still would want to highlight that, you know, the real key to protecting your spine over time is to maintain a regular physical fitness regimen, and really staying active can help prevent a lot of injuries as well.
What kind of activity? I mean, there's cardiovascular, but then there's also strength training and functional training, and people wonder which kind would be the best for their back.
Yeah, so, you know, the strength training, you know, there's certainly a value to making your back stronger, but the reality is that the muscles that you're typically trying to strengthen in your lower back are very small. They're very close to your spine. They're intimately attached to your spine. And those are, you know, a slow twitch muscle fiber that needs to be, you know, strengthened and be made to be more endurant as opposed to go to the gym and lifting heavy weights to make it bigger and stronger. You know, these are very small muscle groups. And so what you want to try and do is have a routine where you're hitting those muscle groups very regularly. You know, these are the type of muscle groups that when you go to the gym or you're working on a home exercise program at home, that you can do activity daily for them to try and keep them strong. You know, that you're going to help improve their endurance, their strength, their ability to circulate fluids and pump blood through those muscles by just hitting them on a daily basis with, you know, relatively, you know, light weight to no weight, but just, you know, doing the activities to strengthen the small muscle groups in your spine.
What do you tell people that have to sit for a living or have to stand for a living about maybe alternating between or the chairs that they have at work? Because all of these things, and you even see people sitting on balls now and working their spine while they sit there. What do you want people to know about workplace advice for keeping that healthy back?
Well, one of the most important pieces of advice I try and give people at work is to have a clock. All right, to have a clock, and you use a clock on a wall, use a clock on a computer, but you don't want to stay in one position for anything longer than about 2 hours, because you can have the most expensive and most ergonomically set up chair, but the body is really designed to move. We don't have all the different joint articulations that we have to just place them in one position, because no matter what position we place them in, when we place them there, it can be the most ergonomically correct position that is, you know, possible, but that's still not going to be a position that your body is designed to be in for any extended period of time. The body is really designed to be moved, and that's how the different joint articulations get their nutrition. You know, cartilage gets its nutrition from compression, decompression, and gliding. So if we stay in any one position for a prolonged period of time, we're robbing the body's ability for it to accomplish what it's designed to accomplish. So whether it's a ball or whether it's a well-designed chair, whether it's sitting or standing, I always recommend that you take a break. So if you're sitting for 2 hours, and then get up and stand and walk around. If you've been standing for 2 hours, then maybe sit down and take a break. And you can do some exercises while you're sitting, such as hamstring stretching or some stretching for your shoulders while you're sitting. And that's going to give your body what it's looking for throughout the course of your 8 hour day. So 2 hours at max is the recommended time for just being in one position.
Dr. Brown, as you wrap it up for us, tell us what an appointment with a physical therapist might be like, what people can expect, and what you would really like them to know about keeping a healthy, strong back.
Well, what we try and really focus on when you come to physical therapy is, you know, we certainly need to, you know, we'll do an examination with you, and we'll try and determine, you know, what's the cause of your symptoms. You know, we try not to focus too much on just the symptoms itself. We want to get at the root cause of what your symptoms are. So a physical therapist is going to do an interview with the patient. They're going to glean some information about what's been going on and get a history. And the physical therapist is really going to try and get to the source of the problem and develop a treatment plan. And, you know, it's going to include a combination of exercises to strengthen the back, typically some manual therapy to improve the mobility of the joints, the soft tissues, and also education, so the person can be, you know, actively involved in their recovery. So we provide a fair amount of education about how to take better care of the back and how to relieve the pain over the long term. So it's really, you know, a good scenario when the patient and the therapist can connect, the patient's able to share all the information that they want to share with the physical therapist, and the physical therapist can help assist the patient to become actively involved in their rehab and performing activities that, you know, over the long term should result in resolution of their symptoms.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for coming on with us today and explaining something that so many people suffer from. Back pain is so prevalent, as you've said. And thank you for such great advice and tips on keeping that healthy, strong back. You're listening to BayCare Health Chat. For more information, please visit baycare.org. That's baycare.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for tuning in.